Right, thanks, Jamie. God gave me over the last few weeks a kind of series of kind of pictures and ideas of what to do and to talk about. But I didn't seem all to link up, first of all. And then when I was going through things, I suddenly realized what it was that God was getting at. And this morning, a song was played that I didn't ask to be played. It's that song, I Am Who You Say I Am. That one. And we also had bits about being a child of God. And I've got as the title of this, being the person that God meant you to be. The person that God meant you to be. Okay. Now, this is a picture of morning glory. Okay. And I took this at 9:30 in the morning. Okay. Then later on, I took a picture of the same plant at 8:00 in the evening, and all the flowers had died. Now, the next day, there'd be more flowers. Just go back to the other one. Yeah, so we'll be back to that. And there'd be generations of flowers. But for those flowers, there's just one day. And the Bible quite often describes our lives as being like a flower that's here today, gone tomorrow. There's a Casting Crowns song called Who Am I? And in the chorus it says this, I'm a flower quickly fading, here today, gone tomorrow. And if that was the end of it, you'd kind of say, well, what? But it then goes on a bit later, after lots of other things as well, saying that God hears me when I'm calling, and he catches me when I'm falling. You see, during that day, if you like, that we each have, we matter, we count, and God cares about us, and he's put us here. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 17. It's a passage I've read before, and starting at verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Remember what Jamie was talking about this morning? God gives us everything, everything, life, breath, and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And get this, this is the bit. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. You are not an accident. You are meant to be here. This is your time. And you've been put here just like Queen Esther, in a story that I can't go into now, was told, you know, perhaps they said to Queen Esther, you're here for such a time as this. This is your day. What are you going to do with it? Who are you going to be in it? And I believe this morning God wants to say, I made you and I designed you to act in a certain way, to be a certain person, to live a certain kind of life. I designed you. I know this is what you're meant for. Human beings were made to know, worship, love, and serve the Creator God, to live the way He designed us to live. This isn't Saturday Morning Kitchen. Okay, it looks a bit like it if you ever watch it, but it's not. I'm not going to do any magic trick either. I'm going to lay this down and just hope I don't tread on it. Okay. My son-in-law Steve has got this right. This will work. A deep voice there. Okay. This is a sieve. It's a humble sieve. Use.
It's great for sieving flour, okay? Because it's made for that. Let's sieve some flour. Right, works really well, doesn't it? Because that's what it's made for. It was meant for things like that. I don't actually use it for sieving flour because, like, I don't bake. But I mainly use it for sieving flour. I use it quite often if I've got a can of lentils and the recipe says, you know, sieve the lentils, you know, rinse it out. Works perfectly. It's fantastic. It's designed to do that. But if I want a drink of pineapple juice, okay, I don't like drinking from a bottle.
So uncouth.
Okay. But if I want to do that, and put it, sorry? What's that? No, really.
Oh.
It makes a mess, okay? Just make sure. Yeah, it does. It makes a mess. Terrible mess. Do you know what? If we do what we're not designed to do, what God made us to do, it makes a mess. If our lives aren't led the way that God designed them to be led in the beginning, it makes a mess. You've made a mess. I've made a mess. Mankind has made a mess. We're all part of that mess. But God doesn't just look down at that mess. What he did was he came down in the person of Jesus.
He came down because he loves us. And as it were, he got down on his hands and knees. And because he loves us, he cleared up our mess. He humbled himself, even to die on a cross. He cleaned up our mess so that we could have our day living for him. That's what he did. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And as the carol said, he came down to earth from heaven because he loves us. He cares about us. He wants to be with us. It says in here, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And it says in Ephesians this, it says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are created by God, we are saved by God to live for God. That's what we're for. And living for God is often described in the Bible as a journey, okay? And it's a journey with a purpose. We know where we're going. He who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. There will be an end to my life. I'm going to be with Jesus one day. I know that. Okay. I know where I'm going. But that journey, who am I going to take? You know, what should I take with me and what should I leave behind? What should I take with me? Well, this isn't a journey you should make on your own. Okay, this is a journey you need to go with someone. And the someone to go with is Jesus. As I've already read, God wanted us to reach out and find him. And he's nice and close. You know, if I want to hold Elaine's hand, I have to get down. And that's what God did. He got down and he got down. And he puts out his hand, but Elaine has to put out her hand as well to hold on. And you know, there's a great bit. It says, Jesus says this, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Once he's got you, he's got you. And he never leaves you. It says, I will be with you to the end of the age. You know, if I'm waiting for someone, sometimes I do get fed up you know, and pace up and down, and I can get a bit impatient. You know, God sticks with us. He never leaves us. He's there for us all the time. Isn't that great? And here's another thing. I know you'll probably know this. You'll say, Bob, you only twigged that, did you? Surely you knew that already. It's Psalm 23. See, David knew who to take on the journey. He knew that taking God with him was the most important thing. And in Psalm 23, there's that famous bit. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think I've misread that. I think I was reading it, and I think lots of other people do, because of the way it's used usually, is they read it, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, he is when we go through trials and when we approach that valley of the shadow of death. But that's not what it says. What it says is, I will fear no evil because you're with me. You are with me now. And even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. He's with me him all the time. And whenever David let go of God's hand, and whenever David walked away from God, he made a right mess. Okay? And let me tell you, I will give a little bit of a wipe to it later because it's a bit sticky. Okay? And that's what it's like. We make that mess. Jesus can really clear it up. But let's be honest, sometimes when we do something to someone or we make a mistake, it sometimes leaves a bit of stickiness, doesn't it? Maybe. Yeah, we need to take God with us on that journey. And the thing is, he wants to be with us. And we can talk to him all the time. Elaine says you talk too much sometimes. She does. She does. You talk too much. You know, Jesus never says that I talk too much. It's great. He probably says, you don't talk enough. Not to me. You can talk to me more. Yeah? That's what he would say. Yeah, he's a great person. He is the best guide. You know, you read these, but he's never out of date. You ever followed one of those walks and you realize that actually it says in the back, you know, that this was printed in 1989 and that the gate that it says is there isn't there. And that they've built a factory in front of where you were going to walk, you know? Jesus is never out of date. His guidance is always right. He never lets you down. He's the best person to take on the journey. But also to take on the journey, excuse me while I open up. Yeah. Take on his journey, his teachings as well, you know, because this is the best advice you can have for being the person that God meant you to be. Read this. It tells you who God wants you to be. Okay, you can find out by reading this and praying and walking with Jesus. You will find out who he means you to be and what he wants you to do and the way that you should do it. That's what happened. So, yeah, take the Bible with you. It's Jesus' teaching, okay? Right. But also, now this is a bit tricky, take his people with you. You can't really, you know, if I go on a walk, no offense, but I don't want you lot all hanging on me, you know, especially some of you. You know, you wreck the whole... I'm not looking at anybody. But, you know... Oh dear. Right. But you know, we can take that. I can take your love. I can take your encouragement. And I can take all the things that you've given to me. Because it says in the Bible, encourage one another. And there's only one way you can encourage one another. That's by being in contact with each other in one way or another. Yeah, come to church. Now, it's interesting. I say come to church. Do you know the Bible never says go to church? The Bible says meet together. That's what the Bible says. Meet together. Meet together to worship, to learn, to share, to cry, to laugh, to be friends, to just go through life together with Jesus, sharing him and sharing each other. That's what God wants us to do. We need to take that on our journey, on our day. Okay? But there are things that we shouldn't take on our journey. I need a victim. Sorry, a helper. I might have got that wrong. Don't laugh, Brenda. It could be dangerous. Okay, right. No, you sit down. Don't want you. See enough of you. Right, okay. Actually, you know, do I go for someone who find it difficult? Or do I find it, should I ask someone? Do you know, I'm going to ask Steve, right? The reason I'm going to ask Steve is that he's got to come and do some help for me, right? He's got to help me later, move some heavy stuff. I want to see if he's up to it. Because he might not be. Okay, Steve, would you just like to put that on? How's that, Steve?
Pretty heavy. Got some bricks in it.
Yeah, it's a bit heavy. You wouldn't want to walk around with that all day, would you? No, you wouldn't want that. In your day, there are things you don't want to carry around. Put it down for a minute, Steve. I want you fit for this afternoon. Okay, so if you would just open it for me, Steve, okay? And I'll just move this to one side and see what other mess I can make. Okay. Oh, man, this is a good one. Past hurts and resentments. Past hurts and resentments. Slow down. Even I can't speak that fast. Okay. Past hurts and resentments. Two aspects to this. First of all, let's get this one over and done with. Forgiveness isn't optional. Sorry. It's probably one of the hardest things you can do in the world. Forgiveness isn't optional. It just isn't. That's it. It says in the Bible, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's interesting that, because we're not so much forgiving the person's sin, we're forgiving the person. Because God forgives sins, we forgive the person. Hard, but we do it. And it's not optional. It's not easy. No one's saying it's easy. It's probably one of the hardest things to do. But it's not optional. We need to forgive. But also, there's another aspect to it. You can sit down, Steve. You're looking bit of a add-on there, you know what I mean? The thing is, if we hold on to past hurts and resentments, it does weigh us down. It stops us from growing. See, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, but we can obstruct that freedom with this. Do you know the story? I'll use this again. Do you know the story of the monkey who got his hand trapped in the bars? No? Yeah. Oh, some of you do. Okay. Right. So, monkey is in the jungle. And he starts to cry, I've got my arm stuck, and makes a massive fuss about. And so the other animals gather around. Snake comes up. Snake says, look, I've always found slithering worms. Okay, so if you put grease over your hand, you should be able to get down. Can't get his arm out, it doesn't come. Elephant comes over and says, listen,
I reckon pretty straightforward things. Let's just pull it out. You hold him. You're on his legs. I'll pull the bars. We'll get it out. No, you can't. You're pulling me apart. And it's still not coming out. Then the tiger comes up. He doesn't care less. He says, I'll just smash that bar. That's what you're looking for. They come. That's a family heirloom. You can't do that. So up comes the chipmunk. What are you going to do, they say? I just want to ask Monkey a question. So, Monkey, how did you get your hand in there in the first place? So, well, I had this orange and I dropped it in. And I put my hand in to get it. And the chipmunk said, well, where is the orange now? And I said, I'm holding it. So I put my hand in. I'm holding the orange. Just but you can't get your hand out. Monkey, you need to let go. So let go of that. Is that a hand out? And if you don't let go of hurts and resentments, you're in prison, you're a captive. You're a captive.
Yeah. When we were on holiday,
in France, we're in Greece. least I was. Anyway, while we were there, sadly, because it's a lovely place otherwise, in the taverna that we were at, there was a cage with a canary in it. It wasn't a big cage, it's a small cage. And I looked at that canary, and it was trapped. In a way, just like Monkey's arm was trapped by resentment, by hurts. And the thing was that because it was trapped, that canary could not do what canaries are meant to do. It could sing, but it couldn't fly. If you don't let go of your resentments, you will never fly. And God wants you to fly. Okay, you need to let go. You can't be what you are meant to be if you're not free from resentments and hurts. I know the kind of things you might say, you don't know what he did, what she did. That's one set of things, isn't it? Looking at what someone has done to you. I remember a lady saying in a meeting I was at, beforehand, she said, blah, 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 but he did that, and I can't forgive that. Now, I knew what had happened about this thing, and I knew that actually she hadn't really even got it right. So some of the things that we are resenting, we can't see what's happened anyway, really. It's just our point of view, you know. But here's the other thing. Why go through life thinking, oh, it's so unfair. He got that job, I should have got that job. Oh, she won that, I should have won that. Oh, he's sitting there, I should be sitting there. All that kind of thing. How much good do you think that actually does? It doesn't. It traps you, it cages you. You won't grow and you won't fly. Let go of past hurts and resentments and don't let it weigh you down. There's a whole load of other things. Some I'm not going to talk much about, but you'll know if pride is something. And that kind of works with that. Hurt pride, you know, that's a difficult thing. Think about it yourself. I'm not going to talk about much about that. It's another one. Fear and anxiety. Oh, that's held me back. God doesn't say you shouldn't have fears and anxiety. He says several things. He says two important things. One I've already mentioned. I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah, it's not good, but I'm with you. I think we even sung about that, didn't we? The other thing is with anxiety, he says, cast all your cares on me, or cast your anxieties on me, because I care for you. God cares. God wants us to cast our anxieties on him. What else have we got? Oh, it's a big one. It's a big one. Self-pity. Oh, you don't know what it's like for me. My life is this, and no one understands me. My goodness, that can hold people back. They become so involved in themselves, they can't look outside of that. Okay. It's getting lighter, but it's not there yet. Oh, this is a huge one, because this is to do with a lot of the things that we've been talking about this morning. Wanting to be the person you are not. Wanting to be the person you are not. You know, God has got a plan for us. Remember the works that he's created before us, for us to do? Remember that he has put us here at this time, in this place. You are here this morning because God wants you here. Okay? And if you spend your life saying, I want to be like her, I wish I could be this, I want to be that, you spend all your time thinking about that instead of asking God, who do you want me to be? And being the person that God wants you to be. And so often, it leads to envy, it leads to a sense of failure. Do you know, it says in the Bible, in him we live and move and have our being. Here's what you are. You are a child of God. That is incredible. I am who you say I am. I'm a child of God. God loves me. He's got a plan for me. It says in the Passion Version, it's through him we live and function and have our identity. Do you know, when I used to preach around a lot of different places, and one of the places I went to, I went there and the guy at the front introduced me, and he said, this is Bob Oliver, because I was. This is Bob Oliver, and he's a head teacher, and he loves Jesus, and he's come to speak to us. And got the microphone. I said, thanks for that, thanks. But I just want to put you right on one thing. I'm not a head teacher who happens to be a Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be a head teacher. That's who I am. That's my identity. And I said, I was a Christian before I became a head teacher or even a teacher. And I'll be a Christian afterwards. And I am. Right? That's who I am. That's who I am. Wanting to be who you're not. And it kind of goes along with, and so I'm going to mix this together because I think, yeah, let God lead you and all that stuff. Personal ambition. Now, there's nothing wrong with being ambitious. I'm going to put it to you. This is personal ambition. Are you self-driven or God-guided? Okay? Self-driven or God-guided? Are you there to impress others or glorify God? What are you there for? What are you looking for? Why are you doing what you're doing? There is nothing wrong with ambition, except when it becomes just totally personal. What I want. God has prepared those works for us. He's breathed his breath into us. He wants us to do amazing things, but be the person he wants you to be. It says in the Bible, and I'm quoting from not only the Bible, but Judith last week, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay? The trouble with personal ambition, if it's self-driven and I'm really following up here on what Judith said last week, you forget who gave you what you've got. Never forget who gave you what you've got, okay? If you get a position, you get promotion, or you get that job, don't forget who got you that job. And do ask first whether you ought to take the job. Do, please, because otherwise you can end up doing something you shouldn't be doing and getting so tied up in it that you forget about him. And I repeat, I was a Christian and am a Christian who happened to be a head teacher, not the other way around. You are a child of God, and it's through him we live and function and have our identity. I love the story of John the Baptist, because he's classic. He's a classic case history on this one. First of all, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about him. Okay. I'm not actually going to read this bit. I'm looking for something else now that I believe I'm supposed to read. Okay. Cool. Jesus said about John the Baptist, of people born of woman, John the Baptist is the greatest. He is the greatest that had ever lived and was alive. That was Jesus' assessment. He also said, incidentally, that the least in heaven is greater than John the Baptist. So when we get there, we will be complete. Isn't that a great thing? A bit scary, isn't it? I think, whoa, the greatest person in the world, and God's going to make me even bigger than that. Wow, when we're going to be glorified, if you think about it, it's going to be amazing. I can't even imagine it. But anyway, so John the Baptist, he is the greatest person. Now, I don't know what you aspire to. Some people here look very coolly dressed, not me. But some people, that's what it's all about. How I look, what I do, my lifestyle. Look at me, or you aspire to it. John the Baptist, okay? His dress sense was appalling. He wore animal skins and they weren't even designer. They were really rough. His lifestyle, now, locusts and wild honey. Now, I have nothing against locusts. High protein content, I believe. Honey, lots of energy, I imagine. It's supposed to be quite good. But it's not a balanced diet, is it? It's not a balanced diet. And do you see that there is none of your five a day in there? As far as I can see, there's none of your five a day. You know? It's not a good thing, is it? And then the other thing we often aspire to is where we live, our homes. Yeah? How good they look when people come in. Well, to my knowledge, and where we live as well, you know, the location, you know, location, location, location. He lived in the wilderness. And if you've ever seen photographs of it, it's a rough place. You know, it's not where I would choose to live. It's a bit of a dump. And I was going to say he was homeless. Well, he was kind of homeless, but you couldn't say he lived on the street because it was so bad they didn't even have a street. That's how rough it was. So that's John the Baptist. So, okay, so he gets a good job. His job is a prophet. You're kidding me? If you think a prophet is a good job, read the Old Testament. They spent most of their time with people trying to kill them or put them in prison or thump them about and whatever. People went to see John the Baptist because he was a prophet, but they didn't really like him that much. People never really liked prophets because prophets would tell them all the bad stuff that they did. And would tell them, get on with this. You know, get back to God. This is, stop doing what you're doing. You know, I can't remember the exact bit because I've got a appalling memory. But when John was in the wilderness preaching, I mean, he's asking people to give away, some people to give away half their wages and to change and do this. And they must have been saying, whoa, who is this guy? But lots of people did change. Lots of people did. But it was a tricky message. It wasn't a message I'd fancy giving. It wasn't the best advert for him in the world. And yet, Jesus said, this is the greatest person on earth. What do you aspire to look like, to live, to do? It has to be what God wants you to be. I'm just trying to track down, yeah. You see, Zechariah said, you, my child, will be a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. He had a job to do, and he did it, even though it meant leaving his family, even though it meant living rough, even though it meant him not being maybe in the sort of lifestyle that if he was an ordinary kid living in Palestine, he might have wanted. But he did that job. He did what God wanted him to do. We need to be not necessarily out in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey and all that stuff, but we do need to be on board with what God wants us to be. I am a child of God, and I'm so pleased that Steve chose that song. I am who you say I am. I am who God says I am. I don't need to worry about what other people think about me. This is my identity. I'm a child of God. And what I need to do, just like the rest of you, is to do what I'm made for. Do what I'm made for. Live the way God made me to live. This is my day. I'm going to make the most of it. We need to make the most of it. I don't think I need to look at the other bits and pieces. There are a whole... Oh, I've got two more, might as well. Greed, yeah. It's what you were saying earlier. Greed. Don't ask for what you don't need. It's just a waste of time. A whole load of stuff. I've got loads of stuff in my house I don't need. It all needs clearing up. All the best for you. Yeah, I don't reckon your mum and I are going to get through it. Envy, yeah. And do you know envy is such a useless thing? Because it doesn't do you any good. You know, you're thinking, oh, you know, whoa, Brad's got those cool tattoos. He looks good in them as well. I'd never look like that. Brad don't care. It's just pain in the neck for you, isn't it? Envy, rubbish. There are so many things that weigh us down. And now I can put it on because it's nice and light. We're here for a short purpose, a short time. We're here for a purpose. Live the way God designed us to live. We're going to play a song now. It's that song that I talked about earlier, Who Am I? All I'm going to say is, while this song is playing, it's got visuals. It would be nice if you thought about what I said. But think what it means to you. You can be carrying something you shouldn't be carrying. Trying to be who you're not to be. Or God is knocking on your door and saying to you, could be any of you here, this is what you should be doing. And maybe there's someone here who's thinking, I don't want to do that. I know some people here have got things to think about very hard and what's next. Whether we're younger, a bit older, or much older. I'm not finished yet, you know. 71 years old or not, get over it. What? Thanks, Sharon.